Loud voice. I'm not sure if I'm amplified or not. How are we this morning? Good, good. Just making sure that we're all awake. Fair to Midland. Now, that's a good Norfolk saying. Blessed and highly favoured. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at the power of God, and we've been looking at the power of God in different areas, different settings. And the reason why I want to share it with us, because I don't want us to miss the power of the everyday, the power of the accidental encounter, the power of the smile when you're in a coffee shop and someone's had a rotten day and you say, thank you for serving me. Thank you for your smile. And that just makes their day. There's power in the everyday. There's power in what we say, what we do. There's power in our praise. There's power in our thanksgiving. There's power in our worship. And today I want to talk about the power of prayer. Now, most of us would have had a good understanding of the power of prayer. We would have had prayers answered in our lives. And sometimes, for some of us, we've prayed and we've seen no results, so we think. It doesn't mean that God hasn't answered our prayer. It just means that we haven't had eyes to see at that time. And there are prayers that I have prayed personally many years ago and I'm only now starting to see some things come to fruition. So a day is like 1,000 years to God, and it just seems a lifetime sometimes, doesn't it, when we're praying and we're interceding and we're believing. But do you know what the truth is? This is that we're called to pray. That's our part. We're called to seek, knock. We're called to pray. We're called to believe that we've received what we've asked for, even though we can't see it. So that means thanksgiving. So when we pray, we say, Lord, thank you for answered prayer. Thank you that you'll never leave me or forsake me. And we start to pray in accordance with God's word, and we see the Spirit coming forward in what we do and what we say. So I just want to bring some Old Testament prayer analogies and some New Testament just to encourage us to keep on going, just to encourage us that we're not on our own. There are other people in other parts of the world praying for us, and we are praying for them. There are Christians who are faceless and nameless praying for the UK. You know, the United Kingdom used to be really renowned for sending out missionaries. Now we need to pray them in. We need to pray people from other nations to come in with faith to blow afresh through this nation of ours. So prayer is important. Isaac, if you don't know about Isaac, read Genesis. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless, and the Lord answered his prayer. It's a simple illustration, isn't it, that we don't just pray for ourselves, we pray for others. You know, there's times where we can be going through tough times, and yet if we take our eyes off of us and put them on someone else, in some kind of miraculous way, our situation doesn't seem so dire. You know, there is a saying that in maturer generation, I used to talk to my mum when she was dying, and I would say, Mum, you know, can we do... And she'd say, there's always someone worse off than me. And there she was dying. I don't know if she knew the Lord, because I hadn't known the Lord at that time. But she would always say, there's someone worse off than me. And I guess that is true, isn't it? There's always other people that are in the treacle and you're not in the treacle. There's already someone else that is in pain and you're not in that particular pain. However, you know, what it is to us, it is. So if it hurts us, it hurts us. If it's important to us, it's important to us. So when Isaac prayed, he prayed on behalf of his wife. I don't know why his wife didn't pray for herself. It doesn't tell us. But it does encourage us to pray for others. It does encourage us to pray for the breakthrough in other people. You might have Christians who have fell a bit on the wayside and they said, you know what, my faith is waning. Well, you have faith, yes? So you can pray with them, you can pray for them. So I want to encourage you that there is power in prayer. In Exodus 9:29, Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. And the thunder will stop, and there'll be no more hail. This shows us that we can pray for our enemies. Read the story. Pharaoh was not a friend of Moses. He was not a friend of God's people. And yet, he said, when I leave the city, I will stretch out my hands in prayer, and I will pray. and you will see the deliverance. So we can pray for our enemies. The Bible says something like this: pray for your enemies and you will heap burning coals on their heads. Now, it doesn't mean what you think it does. Yes, Lord, burn them up. No, it means bless them, encourage them. Let the fire of God refine them. Do you see the difference? So we're called to pray for our enemies. And when we pray for our enemies, there is a powerful thing that happens. There are people that can give testimony. I won't speak on behalf of Susan, but just a bit. There was someone in a circumstance close to Susan, and it wasn't good. And she just prayed, and she just prayed. And that person's heart softened and softened. And now the relationship is a really fruitful relationship. And it wasn't through anything we changed, because we're just the same. It wasn't through anything we did, because we've always done the same. It wasn't because we were Christians and we weren't before. We were always Christians in this circumstance. The difference was prayer. Pray for our enemies and see the blessing of God come upon them. So I want to encourage you and me that there is power in prayer. Don't give up. It says in 2 Samuel 7, Lord Almighty God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. When you look through God's word, he has promises for us. He has promises for us. This is just not God revealing to David the revelation of what he's going to do, that he's going to build a dynasty, or however you pronounce it. He's going to have a people. He's going to have a house that will praise the Lord. His promises are for me and you as well. So we can praise God and we can thank God and we can pray, knowing that our prayers will be answered, because God has already spoken to us through his word. He's already given us promises. Because we could look at Samuel, this verse in Samuel 2 Samuel, and think, yeah, it's okay, but God was speaking to this man directly. Well, God speaks to you and me directly. How? Through his Rhema word, the Spirit, and our spirit connecting, and through his written word. God has given us promises in 1 Kings 8:38. And when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people Israel. Now, we're not Israel, but we are God's people. We've been grafted in, haven't we? So we've been adopted into the family. So still talking to us, Christians, believing individuals, being aware of the afflictions of their own hearts, and spreading out their hands towards the temple. They hear from heaven your dwelling place, forgive and act, deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts. For you alone know every human heart. When we pray from the heart. You know, there'll be times where we may think, I don't feel like praying. Well, we can still pray from the heart. Because God knows us, doesn't he? You know, when we say to the Lord in prayer, Lord, I'm struggling. He could say, I know. But be of good cheer. I'll be in that struggle with you. Lord, I'm suffering. I know. I'll go through that suffering with you. You know, when we pray, we can lift up our hands, we can bow on our knees, we can be prostrate on our face, however we choose it. We can be loud, we can be silent. We can pray in our mind, in our spirit, but we need to pray with our hearts. We need to pray knowing that our Redeemer lives. And if we pray from that point of that heart relationship, then when we pray, it's sincere. It doesn't mean we're articulate. It doesn't mean we know what to pray. Sometimes it's just help. That's a prayer. That's a communication. Prayer is about a relationship with God. Now, I struggle with long... I can pray easier with others. I struggle on my own. So I go for a walk and I just talk to God. And when we talk to God, we're praying to the Lord. When we have these thoughts and we speak these thoughts out, we're praying to the Lord. When we have these thoughts in our minds and we start to sing and we start to praise and we start to worship, it's exactly what it is. It's praise and it's worship. And when we speak, it's prayer. It's building a relationship. It's saying, when you go into a tough situation, I know I'm not on my own because my Redeemer lives. That's a prayer. And so often, in some instances, and I'm not saying it's true for us, but it is true for many people that, I tell you the story, I've told you this before, but there's new people who haven't heard it. There was a millionaire who I did some work for, and he noticed something within me, and he asked if he could receive what I had. And my answer was no, because you haven't got time to listen. And he hadn't. He was then going off to play golf. And I said, when you have time, give me a call. And he rang me some months later and he said, Andrew, I now have time. My counselor has just died. Can I come and chat? So yes, he came to my home. And as he sat there, I said, what's wrong? Gerald, what's going on? He said, I have no peace. I have no peace. And I have all the money that I need, but I have no peace. My mind is tick, 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 tick. I need something different. I want what you have. So my answer was, what, debt? No, he said peace, because he saw peace upon me. That's a good thing, isn't it? My life was a mess, yet he saw peace. Why? Because my Redeemer lived. And I said to him, let's pray. And his answer was, how do I pray? And I said, just talk to God. He said, well, is it that easy? I said, it is that easy. And he just talked to God. And that man fell asleep for over 2 hours. Because the peace of God that transcends all understanding came upon him, because he just spoke to God. He just had a conversation. So can I tell you, can I encourage you that God knows your heart. He knows when you're suffering. He knows when you're angry. He knows when you're happy. He knows when you're going through treacle. He knows when other people are persecuting you. He knows all that. And when you pray in a relationship, you know, I've got good friends that I can say, I'm struggling. Will you pray with me? I can't do this. Will you help me? As I'm speaking, it's not like I'm going, thus saith the Lord, but we're connected. And it's the same with God. Can I encourage us that power comes when we pray with a good heart, when we pray knowing that God understands. So I want to encourage us as we go through the Old Testament into the New Testament. In this particular portion of scripture, Ezra 8:23, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. And there are times where fasting is good. Now, I struggle with fasting. I like my food too much. But there are times where I'll go without something because I'm concerned about something else. And fasting can be in many forms, but when we look through scripture, it's normally a fast from food, and there's just water intake. But however you choose to do it, you can say, Lord, I'm giving this time to you. I'm abstaining from that, whatever it may be, and I'm devoting this time to you. So as we come into the presence of God with a good heart, with a pure heart, knowing that he answers, as we at times are convinced and convicted and we know we need to fast, then we don't just fast, we petition. We say, Lord, I'm coming before you for answer. You know, when we got the message about this young lad, it was a life and death situation. So just for them moments, those that prayed did nothing else. They just prayed. Lord, we're giving this young man to you. Lord, the doctors say brain damage. You say all is well. Lord, we come in Jesus' name. So we gave up some time. We fasted, if you like, from something else so that we could concentrate on this for a few moments. So there may be opportunities to fast and to pray, to say, Lord, I'm giving this time to you because I believe that you will answer. In the Psalms, Psalm 4:1, it says this, answer me when I call you, my righteous God. See, God is righteous. We are righteous because of his righteousness. It's not anything we've done. We have a right standing with God. That's what it means. So if we have a right standing with God, he's going to answer our prayers. He's going to hear our petitions. Why? Because we're his. Righteous God, give me relief from my distress. Indicates that David is going through a tough time. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Mercy, you know, it's not just something that's sorrowful. It's grace, it's favor, it's undeserved merit. Lord, have favor on me. Show me your mercy, Lord, and hear my prayer. And hear my prayer. There's power when we pray. In the Psalms, keeping at 6:9, it says this, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer. So in one psalm, we're going, Lord, hear my prayer. And then he says, the Lord has heard my prayer, my cry for mercy. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not deaf, is he? You know, there's times where I can be very loud. I know you find that hard to accept, because I am shy and retiring when I'm in the pulpit. I know. But there are times that I can be loud, and there are times where I'm just quiet, because God's not deaf. But there's times where, as I speak, I can only speak if I open my mouth. Now, I know that sounds obvious, but have you ever spoken to a mumbler? When you ask them a question, you can't hear them unless they open their mouths. God can hear you. God can hear you. But when we open our mouths, something happens, because we're emptying ourselves of everything else, and we're not thinking about other things. Because I have people come to me to ask me to help them write a speech and say, how do I deliver a speech at my wedding? How can I deliver the speech? And my advice to them is, write it down so that you can read it, not in small joined up writing, so you can see what it is you want to read. And then speak in a louder voice than normal, because as you breathe and you speak in a louder voice, you're only going to speak what you're reading. You're not going to be distracted by other things. And try it. Try it. I guarantee-ish you that if you do that, it will work. You write it down in a way that you can read it, so you don't have to squint when you're looking at it. You remember it. You rehearse it. It's in your heart. And what does the Bible say? At the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why when we pray, it has to come from the heart. It's not just dead words, but it's live, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword when we pray according to his plans and purposes, using his word. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy and accepted my prayer. There's power in prayer. In James, New Testament 4:2, you desire, but you do not have. You kill, you covet. You cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because you do not ask God. But then when you do ask, see, this is sobering. Because there's times where, as children of God, our motives are wrong. Our desires are for ourselves. We want God to move, but we don't want God to discipline us. We don't want God to correct us. We want him to direct us, but not correct us. So if we take this portion of scripture in context and just see the light of what's being said here, this indicates to us it is about a heart relationship. Because if one of my children is a little bit off in the way they say something, I love them no less. I'm just realizing that they've got something going on that they're not articulating very well to me. Why? Because they're saying it in a way in which they don't normally speak. God knows your heart. But there are times, it says, you desire, but you do not have. You kill and you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight and you do not have, because you do not ask God. So there's one thing we need to do, is ask God. When you ask, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with the wrong motive. So we need to have a heart relationship when we ask, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world, it's the carnal side of life, becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think, scripture says without reason, that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in you? God wants to see the life that's in you coming out. But he gives more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see why it's all about the heart? Even when we say things with the wrong tone, with the wrong application, God pours in his grace. Now, there's a scripture that says, you know, the more we sin, the more grace. Should we sin more that we get more grace? The answer is no. But God's grace is there for us. What a loving Father that we have. So I want us to cultivate the right heart as we submit ourselves then to God. It goes on, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. How do we resist the devil? By submitting ourselves to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And it goes on about washing our hearts and purifying our washing our hands and purifying our hearts. Do not be double-minded. Be focused. You know, sometimes, and I've prayed this prayer, and I understand, and there is a truth in it, but the truth of God is God wants to bless us, yes? God wants to answer our prayers, yes? Now, there's times where he'll say no, or maybe, or not yet. I understand that. But God wants to bless us. But there are times in my life where I've gone, God, if you want to bless me, would you answer this prayer? Lord, if it's your will that I'm healed, would you heal me? Lord, if it's God's will that we are whole. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. You know, he died for our infirmities. He died to make us whole. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Yes, I ache, I creak, there's things that don't work as they should work. I wear shoes that are two sizes too big in my mind. I get up in the morning sometimes, I walk out the door and say, why did I come out here? I've forgotten already. Yes, I know that, but God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. And there are times where I should just pray simply, Lord, would you do this according to your plans and purposes that have been written down for me? I'm praying, I'm having a conversation. That is prayer. We don't always have to be prostrate on the floor, but we can. We don't always have to lift our arms as wide as we can get like a funnel and say, Lord, fill me, but we can. We don't always have to kneel, but we can. But as we kneel, as we lay, as we walk, as we talk, as we pray from our hearts, I believe that the natural becomes supernatural, that God hears our hearts and he answers us because he knows who you are. There's power in prayer. In Matthew 7:25, it says there, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. This is a whole picture about the priesthood. He came as a priest in the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever. So what would happen, you know this, but for those that are listening on tape now and in the future, there was a way of coming to God in the Old Testament, and we went through the priesthood. And it was the priest who would intercede on behalf of the sinful people, giving a sacrifice. And through that blood sacrifice, their sins were atoned for until the next time the sacrifice had to be given. Had to go through the priest. Jesus came, this tells us, as our high priest. He became the sacrifice so that we trust in what he has already done. He shed his blood so we don't have to. Who is talking about the permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede. So Jesus is the priest that intercedes for the people. We are the people. The priest would say, because of the sacrifice, not guilty. Yes? Jesus says, because of my sacrifice, not guilty. The enemy comes to rob, steal, and destroy and says, Andrew has. And Jesus says, Father, not guilty. He intercedes for us. And he's given us the ability to intercede for others. That means we'll stand in the gap. So you may have a family member, a loved one, a friend, an enemy who is in despair. And you commit yourself to say, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap. My sins are covered by you. Their sins aren't. But I want to pray that you would reveal yourself to them. I want to pray that your everlasting arms would envelop them. I want to pray, Lord, that you would convict them of their sin and they would become aware that you are their Savior. You can intercede for other people. It's not just the high priest, because we are priests. The Bible says so. We are justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. We are a royal priesthood. It's not my words, they're his words. We're going from glory to glory. We are able to intercede for others. God's the one that answers. God's the one that heals, but we can pray for it, can't we? So there is power in prayer. I want to encourage us as we go forward as a church, believing that the best is yet to come, that as we pray, as we fast, as we ask, as we seek, as we knock, God will answer. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4:6, it says this, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I've said this before, easy to say, isn't it? Hard to do. But in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we mentioned this a week or so ago, with prayer. When we look at prayer, it comes with praise. It comes with worship. It comes with thanksgiving. It's the fullness. It's not just a prayer. It's not just saying, God, will you? It's saying, God, thank you, you have. Lord, will you answer this prayer? Lord, Father, thank you, you're answering. You're hearing my prayers, Lord. Lord, you are the one that I worship. You are my Lord. You are the ultimate authority in my life, is what you're saying. You are the authority in my life, Lord. And I come before you with a heart, Father God, that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I praise you and I thank you that you hear my prayer. I pray for, I ask for, Lord, give me a heart of compassion. Take my heart of stone and melt it, Lord Father God. Soften it that I may see what you see. That's a dangerous prayer to pray, but if you pray it, God will answer it. It says this, thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So as we come before him with our prayers and our petitions, with thankfulness, then the peace of God comes. You know, that man who sat in my living room and said, I want peace. In order for him to receive peace, he had to receive the peace giver. We led him in a prayer of repentance and receiving God. And as he opened his mouth and said, forgive me. The peace of God came in. You know, if you have a child, we have a baby here, I could do the illustration. The baby needs feeding. What does the baby have to do? Open its mouth. The eagle comes to feed the eaglets, whatever you call them. What do they have to do is open their beaks. And this is not profound, and it's not saying that, you know, you put a doctrine around this, but the truth is at times, we have to open our mouths in order for God to fill it. Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, the psalmist says. And we can say the same. Lord, come. So there are times where to receive the peace of God, we need to have already prayed and given thanks for what God has done and will do and is doing in our lives. There is power in prayer. In Luke 18:1, it says this, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, there are times where we read scripture and it says, believe that you've received what you prayed for. So if you've believed that you've received it, you don't need to pray for it anymore. Yet, Jesus says in this portion of scripture, there are times where I want you just to keep praying until you see it come to pass. That's why we pray for our prayer requests in this box in Jesus' name, because we want them to come to pass. When we started praying for Emma with her allergies, we wanted to pray until she was seeing a result. We want to pray until our prayers have been answered. And there's times where we should not give up, Scripture says. And Jesus gives a parable of that. So there are times that you've asked God, and then you've said to yourself, well, I've asked and he hasn't answered, so that's that. Well, that might be, but it might not be. Be persistent. While we have breath in our lungs, we can call upon him. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's what we do at the overflow of the heart. I want to encourage us that the power of prayer comes when we take hold of what God is saying and what God is doing. In Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off into a solitary place where he prayed. Where he prayed. And there are times where we just need to go off on our own and pray. I find it difficult to pray in my own home, even if someone's in the house, just Susan. So I go off for a walk. And I like to just walk and pray and talk. But what happened here was his disciples followed him. And he didn't turn around and rebuke them. He turned around and said, right, let's go to another village and preach, because that's why I've come. The reason God encourages us to pray is to empower us to keep going. It's not just to pray for our physical, mental, emotional, financial needs, but it's to pray that we have the strength to keep going. To pray knowing that God's given us a mandate. He said, go make disciples. When we talk about power, we also need to talk about authority, because Jesus said, all power and all authority I give to you. Now go. You see, you go in the authority and the power of God. God is the ultimate. But there's times where we'll go off to a solitary place and we'll pray, and then the circumstance will come and we'll go. Why? Because we're prepared. So I want to encourage you to just see your prayer life as something that's not mundane, that's very powerful. You know, I am a true believer that I stand and do what I do because you pray the way you pray. There was a man, I don't know his name, but I was told this story. I read his testimony about 20 years ago, and he was a big guy in a church, and he had a massive church, and every Sunday he would see the power of God fall in tangible ways. And every Sunday afternoon his mother would ring him up and say, son, I'm praying for you. And he'd say, yeah, okay, mum, okay, thanks, mum. And these are his words, and kind of shrug her off. Yeah, okay, mum, thanks, mum. He belittled her. Every Sunday, I'm praying for your son. I'm praying for your son. During the week, I'm praying for your son. His mother died, and the first Sunday he got up to preach, he was flat. There was something missing, and he didn't understand what it was. And it so concerned him, because it happened week after week, that he went to his prayer closet, and he got before God, and he said, Lord, what have I done? And God reminded him of the way he treated his mother. And the words are something like this. The Spirit of God indicated, you know, son, it's not you. It's me in you. And your mum's prayers, your mother's prayers lifted you up. Your mother's prayers allowed you to speak in a way that you wasn't able to speak without the power of God moving through you. Your prayers was holding you up when you was weak. Her prayers, sorry, was holding you up when you was weak. Her prayers were sustaining you when you couldn't sustain yourself. Her prayers was instilling that you had the faith to get up and speak and allow God to speak to you. So let's not underestimate our prayers for other people, because there is power in prayer. It says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven will give gifts to those that ask him. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. There are times in our lives, and I can say this because there's been a time in my life where something has been so insignificant that I felt it's not worth bothering God about. And then I complain because I don't have it. I don't have it because I haven't asked. Because I don't think that God's going to answer it. Well, that's unbelief. That's being half-hearted. And the Bible says, be whole-hearted, not half-hearted. The difference between the spies that went in to spy out the land, when we read through Scripture, two were whole-hearted, the others were half-hearted. God wants us to be whole-hearted, knowing. Watch and pray, then, it says in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. How do we not fall into temptation? To watch and pray, to keep an eye out, to look around us, to see what's going on. Because it says this, you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. We can say amen to that, because that's times that happens on a regular basis. Lord, I know what I should do. I struggle to do it. I know what I shouldn't do. I find easy, Paul says. Same with us. Why? We're willing, but we're weak. And how do we overcome our weakness? By watching and praying, keeping alert, keeping eyes on things. You know, there's times that if you're in the armed forces, or you're used to martial arts of any kind, part of the training is to be aware of your surroundings. I used to work with an older man who was really high up in martial arts. And he said part of my training was, we'd go be in a car at 45 miles an hour, and they'd throw me out and I'd have to learn how to land and roll. He pounded the sand so much that his fingers were nearly level. He said, yet when I walked into a pub or a public space, I needed to find the place that I could stand, that I could watch, and make sure that I wasn't caught unawares. We need to train ourselves in that way. We need to realize that the enemy is around us. Not be paranoid, not be fearful. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But just to be aware of our surroundings. So as we pray, we watch. There are times we will close our eyes and we will petition him because we're in a safe place. But at other places, keep your eyes open and watch. Just make sure that the enemy is not prowling around looking to devour you. So part of the power of prayer, I believe, is to understand that we are tempted at times. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And by saying this, when you read this scripture, it says the spirit is willing. It indicates the heart is good. The heart is good. It's not a negative, it's a positive. My heart is for you, Lord. Help me. There's power in prayer. Paul puts it this way. He says that I'm strong when I'm weak. You know, when we're weak, we rely more on God's strength. So sometimes he humbles us so that we can exalt him. I have a couple of scriptures left, and just to encourage us, really, that God's word is true and there is power in prayer. It talks in James 5:13. Is anyone among you in trouble? There's a question. Is anyone among you in trouble? Now the answer is, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Now, there's a caveat on that portion of scripture because we shouldn't share our heart with everybody. We should be careful on who we share our hearts with, who we share our vulnerabilities with. But God has given us brothers and sisters. He has given us the spirit of truth that we may see this portion of scripture come to life, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'll just pause on that. Sometimes when we think about a righteous person, we think about the other person, don't we? We think about them. We think about that particular person that we read about, that we hear about, that we sing about. We think about them being righteous. But the truth is, I've already mentioned it today, the truth is you are that righteous person. If you are a Christian and you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, then you have been made right with him. That's what righteousness is, to have a right standing with God. Now, there are things in our lives that come in to pollute, rob, steal, and destroy, but we can keep short accounts. But you are that righteous person. So the prayer of a righteous person is what? Powerful and effective. And it goes on to give an illustration about Elijah being a human being just like us, a man just like us. He prayed and it didn't rain. He prayed and it rained. God can use you. What me? Yes, you, because there's power in prayer. Do not underestimate the righteousness that lives in you. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with each other. And let's pray in faith. Pray believing that God is in us and through us. In Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the people. I read this portion of scripture last week. I've read this portion of scripture many, many times. I've listened to it many, many times. And because of this particular message, I've seen it in a different way, but there's still truth. When we talk about praying in the Spirit, we can just think it's about spiritual language, speaking in tongues or speaking in another language that's not familiar to you, and that's the Spirit speaking. But there are times where the Holy Spirit will speak into our lives and through our lives. That is true. But also it says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when we pray the Word of God, we are automatically praying in the Spirit of God because the Word of God is the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Well, it did to me anyway. So we're praying in the Spirit because we're praying His Word. If Father God, your word says that. Lord, your word says. Lord, your promises are. That's the word of God. That's praying in the Spirit. Yeah, there are times where those that can speak in tongues will speak in tongues. Those that can receive a revelation in a way that they've not received before, if their hearts are open, God will speak, yes. But in the meantime, as we pray God's word, we are praying in the Spirit. It says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert, watch. Watch and pray. Look at what's happening and pray for the circumstance. Why? Because there's power in prayer. A couple more scriptures, then I will be finished. In Luke 11:4, it says this, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive anyone who sins against us. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is what the disciples said to Jesus. How do we pray? How do we pray? And he says, Father. You pray, Father, Heavenly Father, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. When we look at the Israelites, they had bread all around them, but they only took what they needed for that day. You know, the Bible says tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Let's just pray about today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God will answer. Let's believe for today. But when we look at how we pray, if we struggle with prayer, take God's word and just pray God's word. If we struggle with praise, look at the Psalms and just start reading the Psalms and praising his name, worshiping God for who he is, giving thanks for what he's done. Praying by opening our mouths and looking through scripture. When a passage strikes us, we just pray that passage out. Lord, help me. Soften my heart, Lord. Help me to see with your eyes, Lord. Father God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me, Lord. That's praying in the Spirit on all occasions. And let's learn from the disciples and make sure that we make God our Lord, not just our Saviour. In 2 Corinthians 12:18. There three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away. This is Paul speaking. He had a thorn in the flesh. Now, I know there are times where we have thorns in the flesh and we like to name them. That's him or that's her. But this was something that God had allowed to happen in his life. I don't know what the thorn was, but he pleaded with God three times. And God said this. And don't you hate it when God says this? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that God's power may rest on me. There are times where we feel weak and vulnerable, but we are not weak and vulnerable. We are powerful and effective. We may feel weak and vulnerable. But there are times we need to be reminded through our prayer life that God's grace is able. Undeserved favor. We don't deserve it, but God gives it. Lord, you don't know, he does. Lord, I can't, you can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when we become weak and we allow his strength to come in, we can do all things. That's a communication. That's a prayer life. That's a relationship. Final scripture is in Jude 17. It says this, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times or in the last days, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. There are people who divide you. That's why we need to watch and pray. People who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. They do not know the Word of God. They come with their own gods. They come with their own morality. They come with their own answers to their own questions. But they sound so plausible. So for us, as we look at the Word of God, we can pray in the Spirit according to God's Word. We can look, we can watch, we can be attentive. We won't follow the natural, but we'll follow the spiritual. But you, dear friends, talking to the church, talking to the apostles, the disciples, by building yourselves up, this is important, by building yourselves up. Lord, if only my brother would help me, if only my sister would help me, only if only my finances were bigger, if only my peace was expanded. This is for me and for you, personal. We can miss it. I have so often. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, as we pray, there'll be times those that can speak in a different language will speak in that language. But if you can't and you speak out God's word, you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait, which means there's a time period, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by a corrupt lifestyle. God wants us to pray and keep watch. He wants us to know that the power of God lives in us, that our prayers are effective as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for our friends, as we pray for our families, as we pray for our enemies. There's power. And that word power is dunamis, dynamite. Dynamite, the power of God. There's an explosion that happens in the spiritual when we humble ourselves, open our mouths, and pray to the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are merciful, that your grace is sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that you equip us, enable us, that you are our high priest. You intercede for us, Lord. When we are weak, you are strong. Lord, we come in our vulnerabilities and we say today, fill us afresh with your dynamis. Fill us afresh with the resolve to pray in all circumstances, to pray when we're feeling good, to pray when we're not feeling good, to pray when we don't see the answer, to pray when we do see the answer, to pray and watch on all occasions. We ask you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we may walk in the fullness of your joy and peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Which is, let it be so. I'll take that.